Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's Daf Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Zayin, introduces a fascinating topic about receiving money for doing an Aveira, and I've decided to use that topic, which plays out in regards to an accountant who lies on a tax form and his rights for payment for his work, and open it up to a general discussion in regards to the halachic requirement to pay taxes. First of all, what does this have to do with our daf? On Chav Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us about a fascinating story where the Baisusim, who rejected the Torah Shebaal Peh, attempted to bribe a witness who would fool the Chachamim and testify falsely in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh. Ultimately, one of the fellows was a loyalist to the Prushim, a loyalist to the Chacham, and he foiled their plan, and Chazal told him the money that he was bribed with he could hold on to, and it's considered a present. How does this present work? At the end of the day, for sure, these people were evil, but the money doesn't belong to this loyalist. Rashi explains in Dibra Maschil Masayim Zuz, and the Nesivas HaMishpat took this Rashi and he ran with it very far in the 19th century, and it since then can be used for many instances that unfortunately come up when people are paid to do an Aveira. Rashi in Dibra Maschil Masayim Zuz says that the reason why he was able to hold on to the money was because of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and that is that the Chachamim, as a Bezdin, had the ability to take the money from the Rishayim of the Baisusim, referred to sometimes in legalese, in American law, as eminent domain, that they took, as a power of Bezdin, the money of the Baisusim, and they awarded it to this fellow. Comes along the Nesivas HaMishpat, in Simin Tes, Sivkotan Aleph, and he applies this Rashi to his position in regards to the following question. What happens if Reuven, exactly like in our case, says the Nesivas, pays Shimon to testify falsely on his behalf? In such an instance, because an Avera was done, services were rendered, as the receipt might say, but at the end of the day, those services were an Avera. In such a case, can Shimon collect the money from Reuven? If he was paid, is he allowed to hold on to the money? Or, because it was an Aveira, then in such a case, he's not entitled to his services. Points out the Nesivas, what did Rashi say? Rashi said that he was entitled to the money through Hefker Bezdin Hefker because he didn't fulfill the Tanai. Because ultimately this aid did not testify falsely, the condition in which he had received the money did not apply, and therefore Hefker Bezdin Hefker needed to be used. Mashma, we could infer that if he did fulfill the Tanai, even though he testified falsely, in such a case, he'd be entitled to the money. The Nesivas HaMishpat explains that this is fundamentally different than Ribbis. The halacha is, as the Gemara describes in Tumuran Davav Amibes, that if Reuven charges Ribbis to Shimon, so then in such a case, Reuven needs to return the Ribbis that was received to him by Aveira, and the Nesivas points out that Ribbis is the Gzeres HaKosav. And therefore, the rule of thumb is that services which were rendered as an Aveira, nevertheless, despite the Aveira that was done, nevertheless, the halacha is that the individual that did that Aveira will have to pay in Shamayim for the Aveira in Olam HaEmes. However, financially, if there was a deal that was made, then that deal would be still binding, to the point that the Churas Shai points out, this is quoted in the Pnine Halacha by Oz Vahadar, that the Churas Shai points out that if Reuven hired Shimon to fraud one of his customers, in such a case, if the job was done, then of course they have both done Averos. Whether Dirabbanan or Dirais is a different story, but they've certainly both done something wrong. But if Reuven paid Shimon to do, promised Shimon money to do something wrong, and Shimon does it, so then in such a case, Reuven will have to pay Shimon, true as Shai says, if you simply extend the Nesivas HaMishpat's argument. Which brings us to this fascinating Halacha L'maisa topic. I've heard from my great Rabbeim from the United States of America, as well as vis-a-vis the requirements of B'nai Chutz La'aretz living in the United States from my Rebbe Rav Nevin Zal Shlita, the same theme over and over and over again. From people from G'dolei Torah, from different circles, very, very different type of circles, all emphasized in slightly different ways the same point. And that is that Dina de Malchusa Dina requires an individual to pay taxes in his host country. Rav Schechter Shlita emphasizes this all the time. My father Shlita emphasizes this all the time. My Rosh Yeshiva, one of my Rosh Yeshivas in Tar V'Das, Rav Belsky, emphasizes this as well. In a nice compendium, the halachic responsa from the desk of Rav Yisrael Belsky in English, called Shulchan Alevi, Rav Belsky summarizes the issue of paying taxes in the following way. And here I read from the Sefer. The halachos of abiding by the law of the land, this is page 243, are complicated. This is in large part due to the wide range of opinions in Rishonim. But according to many Rishonim, the obligation to obey the law of the land with regard to taxes is predicated on the idea that a king, government, or country owns the land and has the power to set the terms and conditions by which an individual may reside there. Thus, one who withholds taxes is essentially stealing the living space he occupies in that land. According to this opinion, one may never avoid paying taxes to an official government tax collector. He then adds, and this is a very, very important line, all the Gedolei Yisrael with whom the author is familiar, all, notice the word all, conducting themselves in this fashion. And I can assure you, Rav Belsky does not work on the faculty of Yeshiva University. He does not align himself with the modern Orthodox movement. Nevertheless, his language is unequivocal and is quite clear in what our tradition from all the Gedolei Yisrael with whom the author is familiar conducted themselves in this fashion and made sure to pay any and all taxes owed by them. He then, in all honesty, brings a, quotes, a lenient opinion, where he writes, however, some opinions distinguish between an upstanding, trustworthy Jewish tax farmer and any other type of tax collector. In the case of a Jewish tax farmer, by not paying taxes, one would be causing the Jew a financial loss. However, despite the above arguments, there is a factor that mitigates against withholding taxes, even if there may be halachic permission to do so. Again, remember, that's despite the fact that all Gedolei Yisrael that he was aware of were careful about it. It is virtually impossible to avoid taxes without having to lie about one's income and make a legal declaration that his lie, it is the truth. It is written in the Torah explicitly that one should avoid untruths, midvar sheker tirchach. And Rav Belsky goes on and says, people are so machmir about glak kosher, yet kal v'chomer, they have to be makbid on midvar sheker tirchak. So it's quite unequivocal that chas v'chalila lying vis-a-vis one's taxes, and according to the majority of opinions, and this is the tradition I have from my rabbeim as well, that there would be a chiyuv even from Dina de Malchusa Dina, that the halach is, of course, that one is required to pay taxes and be honest in one's tax return. What happens if, chas v'chalila, there is someone who is dishonest and he pays an accountant to do something wrong, something terribly wrong, and that is to be dishonest on his tax form? Here we have a fascinating shaila, whether the accountant is even entitled to the services. Do we say, like in our case, that the Nesivas HaMishpat said that if the service was done, that even if the Avera was the service, nevertheless, one is entitled to the legal agreement of the Avera, and therefore the accountant would be entitled to his pay for the services? Or do we say that there's a fundamental distinction between and the case of our Gemara? The Sefer Archos HaMishpatim comes along and he says that there is a fundamental difference between the case of taxes. He doesn't talk about taxes. That's our invention. That's our modern twist to this Shaila. He talks about the case of where someone works for someone else and lies to what we spoke about before, defrauds the customer, where we have the Sefer Churas Shai that had argued that in such a case, the boss who paid his worker to lie does have to pay him, and the employer is required to pay him, and the employee does not have to return the money, when it's compared with our Gemara. And the argument goes as follows. The halacha is, let's bring in another halacha. In chas v'chalil, in the case of esna, in the case of prostitution, the halacha is that even if the zona is doing an avera, she is entitled to the agreement of the money. Why? Because ultimately the service was rendered, and in the case of where the service is rendered, then the deal was that there would be a transfer of funds. However, what would the halacha be if Shimon took Binyamin's money on behalf of Reuven? Then, of course, there's a requirement for Reuven to return to Binyamin the money that was taken. If that's so, Shimon really never rendered, argues a Sefer Archas Mishpatim, a service on behalf of Reuven, because Reuven is not entitled to the money that he got. In the case of the Nesivis HaMishpat, in such an instance, the witness, the false witness, did not take money for Reuven. He testified falsely. Reuven promised him that he was going to pay him. In such an instance, the service that was rendered gave Reuven his desired result, and that is false testimony on his behalf. In contrast, argues Archos Mishpatim, if Reuven asked Shimon to steal from Binyamin, in such an instance, Reuven has a responsibility to return that which was stolen, and therefore, the whole arrangement was a faulty arrangement. This is quite a chiddush. One could possibly disagree with the Archos Mishpatim. However, based on the above, I'd like to throw in a fascinating shaila to the Beis Medrash. And that is, if we accept the Archos Mishpatim's argument, an accountant who lies on taxes, presumably we're discussing where he wittingly, illegally withheld taxes for an employee of a company or for a company, for any balabais. In such a case, then it could very well be that since Reuven, who asked Shimon the accountant to lie for him, so then in such a case, Reuven has to pay back the government that he withheld the taxes for, and therefore he never really halachically derived benefit from the actions of the accountant. So I'd like to throw out to the Beis HaMedrash that it could very well be that an accountant that lies on behalf of somebody else, again, wittingly, so then in such a case, it could very well be that he's not entitled to payment for his services. This is a fascinating topic that emerges from the discussion of the fascinating Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Beis.